From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Well, our connection this hour was made in front of a microphone, in front of a panel of officials, in front of a room full of people, and in front of millions of TV viewers and online. Standing at that microphone is a student anywhere from age 8 through 15 whose job it is to spell a word. That's the scene at the finals of the Scripps National Spelling Bee. It is the bee. Millions of students each year compete in various bees, starting at the classroom and school levels, which I never made it out of, thanks to the word separate. You advance to the state and the regional levels, and then a select few make it to that national competition. So how do you spell bougainvillea? If you're like me, you have to think about it, and then you've got no chance even still. But spellers on the stage have little time. They can work through a few details, but they got all that pressure. It is not for the faint of heart. And this year, a couple of local students advanced to the regional levels. One of those students made it to that national bee in Baltimore. What's the process like? How do they handle the pressure? How do you prepare for the bees? Well, this hour, we're going to talk with local spellers and some of their parents about all of this, and maybe they'll share some ideas on how we will avoid just using autocorrect forever, because autocorrect didn't even know apamen. Autocorrect didn't even know some of the words like scintillante, mirabolanus, sinif, caixinha. How would you do with those words? Well, if autocorrect can't do it, what chance do any of us have? The students in this studio are very, very impressive. And the one who was at the Nationals, Ryan Creary, is a rising freshman now at Penn Yan High School, who was in that, I think, what, the fourth round you got to?
Yeah.
I call it the finals. I mean, it's the finals, isn't it?
Close enough.
Close enough. Well, welcome. Congratulations to you. That was awesome to watch here. Hello to Kevin and Michelle, Ryan's parents here. You guys can, they're sharing a mic here. So hi, Mom and Dad. Thank you for being here.
Sure. Thanks for having us.
They've made the trip up from Penn Yan. Hello to Elias Seppo, a rising freshman at Brighton High School, competed in the Scripps Regional Spelling this year. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hello.
Auntie Seppo is Elias's dad. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
And later this hour, we'll welcome another one of the national finalists from a previous generation. When I looked at the list of words, and I'm like, I think it's harder now. I think it is much harder now. Producer Megan Mack might even do some quizzing of me coming up here. Are you putting that together? This is going to be terrible.
We're working on it.
What I noticed watching, when I was really watching Ryan's run, it was really fun to watch because, you know, everybody's kind of watching and everyone's very nervous and people are texting each other like, he's almost up, he's here he comes, and, you know, you're sharing it on social. And then another key feature that was people started sharing the words that knocked them out of their school bee. So for me, I knew right away it was separate. I said to a teacher, I'm like, why is it S-E-P-A-R-A-T-E if I say separate? He said, because you say separate incorrectly. There's probably much more difficult words that everyone can remember. I don't know, Auntie. I mean, like, is there one word in your life that you struggle to spell?
Oh, there's many of them all the time. I'm not native English speaker, so it's all
I know, you're still better than most. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, well, you know, and that goes into something. I think people who master multiple languages have actually better ability to sort them out somehow. I'm not really one of them, but...
You're not one of them. You polyglots are very boastful with your ability to... How many languages do you speak?
Actively, only two, but I learned, I think, three more in school. I could probably manage to order a hamburger in any one of them.
Pretty remarkable stuff here. Elias, what was the word that knocked you out this year?
This year, it was simpatico.
Simpatico.
But that was also probably due to the fact that I had just come from a flight to the UK. I was doing it virtually from the UK, and I had like 3 hours of sleep and was in a car on the side of the road. My internet kept disconnecting, so it was kind of hard to focus and concentrate.
I'm with you there. Simpatico, okay, do it for us now.
I forgot the correct, but it's S-Y-M-P-A-T-I-C-O.
I think it's S-I-M. Oh,
yeah,
that's how,
I-M.
Was it the Y that tripped you?
I don't know.
The Y that tripped you. We got some audio to share with you on how Ryan did. So can we start with Springerla? Alternately, as you'll hear, Springerla. Can we have the clip for that one? This is him nailing it in round three, I believe. Round three, Ryan Creary at the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Let's listen.
Ryan Creary from Newark High.
Hello.
You ready?
Yes.
Springerla. Also Springerla.
Could I have the language of origin?
This word is from an originally German word.
Could I have all the information, please?
Springerla, also Springerla, it's a noun. This word is from an originally German word. It's a thick, hard cookie, usually flavored with anise and impressed with a relief design, and traditionally eaten at Christmas in German-speaking countries. Klaus broke his tooth on a stale Springerla.
Could I have the language of origin one more time?
This word is from an originally German word.
Could I have all the pronunciations?
Springerla, Springerla.
Springerla. S-P-R-I-N-G-E-R-L-E. Springerla.
That is correct.
You were talking about the temptation to pronounce it how you would and sometimes in the mother tongue.
That was, and then they cut to the family, and they're all like, probably pure relief. In a moment, we're going to ask Mom and Dad what that was like. Ryan, for you, when you hear Springerla, is that a word that you recognized right away?
No.
Okay, so take me through the process.
So I hear it, and I think to myself, uh-oh, I don't know this. This might not go well. So I ask for all the information, and I hear German. And in my mind, I'm thinking a lot of German words start with like the SCH, like that's how they do the sh sound. But there was also the alternate pronunciation of Springerla. So I thought maybe just it was going to be SPR. And I went with that and I turned around after I got it right and I was like, wow.
So that's really, but the interesting part of that is you worked through how to attack that word, because without that alternate pronunciation, you might have been on an SCH.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, wow. So very smart to use every drop of information you could get there.
Right.
Is it a feeling of relief when you get through that one?
Yeah, definitely. It's exciting to move on to the next round, and just in that moment, that was awesome, knowing that I was able to continue on.
Is it weird kind of being okay when you're watching other people get words wrong? Are you kind of like, oh, too bad?
Well, it depends, because, like, I want the kids to do well, but also I'm like, this is my competition, so.
Well, you can't control what they do. You can only control you, and you did wonderfully there. I thought that was so impressive, that word, because when I was watching it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't even know how you would work through something like that. Interesting to get inside your mind. And it made me assume that you must have spent 5 hours a day just studying word roots for the last year. But that is not what you have done, apparently.
No. In the weeks leading up to the spelling bee, I spent maybe an hour a day going over some words. But it was not as much practice as I should have done.
Well, no, I mean, like, look, I mean, some of the kids involved, some of the quote-unquote favorites, some of whom you outlasted,
right,
were like 8 hours a day or every day. I mean, one of the kids who got knocked out, who was, I think, second or third last year, said afterwards, I don't know what I'm going to do. He's aged out, and I don't know what I'm going to do every day now that I'm not going to be studying words all day. So there's different levels of intensity and preparation, and I just thought, for you to end up in 60th place overall, is that correct?
Tied for 60th.
Tied for 60th. Is a massive, massive achievement. Can you describe what it is like at the scene there? I mean, take us through where you went and what you had to do and what that was like, Ryan.
We arrived on the Sunday before the spelling bee, and it's just like a whole big, it's a whole big thing there. Like, they have events all week. The bee has like tours. On Memorial Day, we had a picnic at the Audi Field and Washington, that's the soccer field, and they had a whole like hive like right there by the ballroom, and like there were just events every week, and it was all exciting, and there were kids from everywhere, and we all just got to socialize and do what we did best.
I think that's really cool to hear that, and it sounds to me, I'll let you speak for yourself, it sounds to me like for you this was maybe not a bonus, but because you're not doing 8 hours a day and you've got so many diverse interests in your life and you're an outstanding student, an outstanding athlete, that you know, you want to last, you want to get all the way through to the end if you can. But realistically, you want to just hang in there and have fun with it. I mean, it didn't seem like it was life or death for you. Is that fair?
Yeah. Like, I fully expected not to win that.
Okay.
Like, against those other kids, there were other kids smarter than me there. There were other kids that were more prepared. And I just wanted to set a modest goal for myself and be able to participate and do well enough.
What was your first round word?
First round word was in medias res.
And is that how you pronounce that?
Yes.
In medias
res. In medias res.
There were multiple pronunciations. I think that's one of them, though.
And that's a word that has actually three. Like, do you have to put the space in when you do that? Like,
no.
You don't?
No. So no spaces or punctuation marks.
What was round two?
Round two, that was a vocabulary round. So I had to, it was multiple choice vocabulary and the word was erstwhile, and I correctly picked former is another word for erstwhile.
Okay. And you knew that one. You were pretty confident with that one?
Yeah.
What about in medias res? Were you felt pretty good about that?
Yeah. Like, they had a study list that we could go over before, for the first three rounds of competition, actually. There was a study list, and I had went over that multiple times, so I was confident with that.
Are you wondering, like, as your turn is coming up here, and you're seeing words that you know you can spell. Like, the previous guy got, like, book.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could have done that. And I got, like, in medias res. Like, what is this? How often are you watching the other words thinking, I know that word. I studied that word. I could do that word. Or, conversely, how often are you thinking, I am really glad that I do not have that word to spell?
So, in the first round, there were definitely a lot I could spell. And then as, like, the third round and the quarterfinals went on, I'm like, thank you that those are not the ones I have to spell.
But you would have felt that way about Springerla, probably.
Yeah, maybe.
And you nailed it. Ultimately, what did him in round four, we do have the audio of that. This seems like a fake word made up for spelling bees. Let's listen.
Appleman.
Could I have all the information, please?
Yes. Appleman is a noun that came from German, which probably formed it from words that consist of originally Latin and Egyptian-derived Greek elements. Appleman is a neurotoxic polypeptide in the venom of the honeybee that is used especially in biomedical research. Research shows that Appleman has positive effects on memory and could help in treatments of memory disorders if its toxicity is controlled. Appleman.
Appleman. Could I have the origin again, please?
Formed in German, probably from words that were originally Latin and Egyptian-derived Greek.
Appleman. Appleman.
Appleman.
Appleman. A-P-O-M-E-N. Appleman.
Appleman is spelled A-P-A-M-I-N. All right,
thank you.
I mean, that little bell has got to be like the worst sound, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, no. Before you attempted to spell that, give me your confidence level that A-P-O-M-E-N was going to be correct.
Three out of 10.
Like 30%. Yeah. Okay. So you knew this was a shot in the dark.
Yeah. I had no idea, but just basing on how he pronounced it, that was the best I could do at that time.
I mean, I thought that was a pretty admirable guess there. But for the rest of your life, I mean, are you going to be like, my word was Appleman, or do you think you'll eventually forget that one?
No.
You won't forget? Like, that was fast.
Everyone in school brings it up all the time.
That should be your nickname now. Like Appleman.
Yeah, it basically is, yeah.
I think Springerla should be your nickname. I think that's a good one. Overall, the experience, how would you rate it?
10 out of 10. That was awesome.
What was it like having people rooting for you back home?
That was great because I knew everyone was behind me. I knew everyone was supporting me. And even if I did get out eventually, they would still be proud of me. And I was happy for that.
I think I was sweating coming back around to round four, just like, you know, knowing it was coming. And it's like, oh, man, how must the parents feel? So let me ask Kevin and Michelle to grab that microphone and maybe share it a little bit. And I mean, you're helpless there. You're watching this. There's nothing you can do, right?
It's terrifying to watch. And like you said, you're watching the other kids get these words, and you know, there's words that those of us from this region are familiar with. Kids got Adirondack or Iroquois, and you know, we're wishing, why couldn't our son get those? But at the same time, I forget, was it Tuesday, Rye, of that week? We took a break and we went out for lunch and we were studying, like you mentioned, they had that list. And we were studying some of those words, just cramming in the car. And his sister was in the back seat helping him. And Emily was reading these words to him. And then we got to that next round of the B. And so many of the words that Emily had read kept coming up in that round.
For other kids?
For other kids.
For other kids. Yeah. Of course. Of course. Amazing.
And, you know, so we're both just, you know, rolling our eyes and groaning and, you know, why? You know, he knew that one. He knew that one. He knew that one. And then Springerla comes up, and I don't remember that one coming up on the list.
So let me ask Mom to grab the microphone here. Yeah. Springerla comes up, and what is going through your mind?
We're done for. I'm glad this was a good trip. I'm happy he didn't, you know. My hope was that he just made it through the first round, because to me, I think it's super heartbreaking for those kids who've worked so hard to get there, and you know, they go out in the first round, and there was a lot of kids. But I was like, well, he made it through the first round, so after that, it was all icing on the cake for me. Yep, exactly.
I was going to ask about that. I mean, I do feel for the kids who, you get there, you get on stage one time, you hear the bell. That's tough. So when he nailed that first word, that's just like, relief. Yep. Relief,
exactly.
Right? Amazing. Because how long was it in between attempts for Ryan? I mean, like round one to round two to round three? What was it like?
There were hours, and especially at the beginning when there's so many kids still involved, they had everybody report in groups. So round one and two, you knew were done together, but it was, you had a two-hour window where you showed up, and then you'd go, you know, take part in some of the other activities that were available until your group got called back later in the day.
I would have thought you're all just like watching every word like right off the stage, but maybe it's better, Ryan, to be off doing something else.
Yeah, I think there were some kids and families that did that, but we were able to go see more of the surrounding area and have more fun than just watching other kids spell.
Now, I don't even know the structure here. Are you aged out or can you go back? Is this it?
So that was it.
This is it.
Yeah, I think it's like eighth graders are aged out.
So you're in retirement now.
Yes.
From spelling.
Yeah.
You can rely on autocorrect forever.
Yes, that's pretty much.
In our second half hour, we're going to spend a little bit more time on the perils of autocorrect. I want to ask Elias, you know, competed, got to this regional level here. How much time do you think overall that you spent studying words and roots, et cetera?
Maybe for the week leading up to it, like maybe an hour and a half a day. And before that, not much at all.
I mean, so, you know, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. There's kids out there who are like spending the year doing this, right?
Not really at the regional level. There weren't. There
the
were
national,
like,
yeah, yeah.
There were like a few that seemed like they had put in some time into that, and they were the ones that got far into the spelling bee. So,
now, what languages are you speaking these days, Elias?
I speak Finnish and English, and I'm also learning German in school.
How much does that help you in a spelling bee competition?
It does help me quite a bit, because I'm able to tell German words, like words that are made up of German parts, easily. And also one of the words that I got in the regional bee, it was in Finnish. It was originally Finnish word, which I really didn't expect. Sauna. A sauna, I'm pretty sure it's originally, I'm not sure.
Sauna as in like spa? A sauna?
I know it, yeah, yeah.
Is that right? Finnish origin?
Yeah, I think so. I think the word is Finnish origin. The custom of heating rooms and being there uncomfortably sweating is probably from a little broader area than just Finland. But yeah, that's where it comes from.
Awesome. So simpatico, is that always going to be on your mind for the rest of your life?
It will. Not really, but one word that I did miss in sixth grade will be on my mind.
What was that?
Porpoise. And that I'll always remember how to spell that word.
P-O-R-P-O-I-S-E.
I just couldn't think of it in the moment there, but Yeah.
Do you want to know what I got knocked out at in sixth grade? I mentioned Separate. That was my swan song when I thought I was going national. I never thought I was going national. In sixth grade, it wasn't Porpoise. It was 19. Do you know how ridiculous it is to get knocked out with the word 19? So I actually thought of like, well, like if I think of the word like brining, B-R-I-N-E, but B-R-I-N-I-N-G, you take out the E. So 19, N-I-N-T-E-E-N. That's bad. That's very embarrassing. So there, I think porpoise, funky word, totally justifiable. 19 is an indication that you need autocorrect. That technology was invented for people like me. So are you done? That means you're done too with spelling bees because you're going to be a freshman? What do you think the study of words has helped you with? Like, has it improved you as a student? Has it improved your life?
Maybe a bit. Not really much, though.
Wow. That's kind of dark. Ryan, save us. Has this made your life better? Are you a better student?
Yeah, I would say so.
In what way?
Well, I'm better with spelling, definitely. But also, like, I'm just able to, like, if I'm reading, I'm able to recognize words better. I'm able to understand stuff better because of some of the things I've been studying.
Kevin, you think this has affected him in some way.
I'll just add that as far as his study habits, he's studied more for this than I think I've ever seen him study before. Not to say that, you know, he was spending 8 or 10 hours a day doing it, but, you know, devoting the time to it and, you know, setting a goal for himself. And I could see the work ethic put in there. So,
what was your winning word to win the regional? You don't remember?
Well, it's been a while. Oh, yeah, facile.
Facile. Is it facile? Is that an alternate pronunciation?
They just gave me facile. Like, it looks
F-A-C-I-L-E?
Like it's facile. Yeah.
Okay.
It looks like it's pronounced facile, but.
I think that might be an alternate pronunciation.
Could be.
But I also misspelled 19.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you should go with that. We've got a lot to do this hour, and we're going to have a lot of fun. In a moment, we're going to listen to the lightning round winner. That is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that. And I think people are going to be really blown away with that. And I see listeners are starting to submit the words that knocked them out. So we're going to share your knockout words. Listeners, email us at connections. That's connections at wxxi.org. Dan in Canandaigua says forlorn. Forlorn. He spelled it F-O-R-L-O-R-N-E. Added the E. Elias is like, there's nothing. No, I'm kidding. Elias is not making fun of you, Dan. We're not laughing with you. We're laughing at you. I'm sorry, the other way around. Forlorn. That's much more acceptable than missing separate or 19. But I want to hear the knockout words or the words that trouble you. Listeners, there's got to be words that trouble you. Connections at wxxi.org. You can call the program. It's 844-295-TALK. 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. 263-9994. Have you all seen the lightning round winner? Have you guys seen this? You guys saw it. Have you seen this?
No.
Oh, Seppos. Wait till you hear this. So what happened was the way it seemed to me was there were two finalists left and they kind of just couldn't get a winner. And so they said, you got 90 seconds or so to spell as many words as you can correctly. And I thought, well, let's see. Like, maybe it'll be like a 7-6 winner. And the winner got 29 and the runner-up got 20, which is really, really unbelievable. And I want to make sure I get the winner's name here. I've got it somewhere in my notes. It's a big pie. Oh, yeah. There you go. See, Kevin, you know. You want to be an assistant producer today?
Sure.
Bruhat Soma of Tampa, Florida. This is Bruhat in that winning lightning round.
Your first word is bruette.
B-R-O-U-E-T-T-E.
Adelantado.
A-D-E-L-A-N-T-A-D-O.
Hyperkeme.
H-Y-P-O-R-C-H-E-M-E.
Bicellium.
B-I-S-E-L-L-I-U-M.
Mycteric.
M-Y-C-T-E-R-I-C.
Endecha.
E-N-D-E-C-H-A.
Saracen.
S-E-R-I-C-I-N.
Nyctalopia.
N-Y-C-T-A-L-O-P-I-A.
Ascham.
A-S-C-H-A-M.
Wenzel.
W-E-N-Z-E-L.
Sebel.
C-E-B-E-L-L.
Heautophany.
H-E-A-U-T-O-P-H-A-N-Y.
Kwazoku.
K-W-A-Z-O-K-U.
Panettiere.
P-A-N-E-T-I-E-R-E.
Sagai.
S-A-G-A-I-E.
Nachschlage.
N-A-C-H-S-C-H-L-A-G-E.
Exorason.
E-X-O-R-H-A-S-O-N.
Porphyrio.
O-R-P-H-E-R-I-O.
Giclée.
G-I-C-L-E-E.
Ashwagandha.
A-S-H-W-A-G-A-N-D-H-A.
Pustaw.
P-U-S-Z-T-A.
Asarotum.
A-S-A-R-O-T-U-M.
Shintalante.
S-C-I-N-T-I-L-L-A-N-T-E.
Mirabalanus.
M-Y-R-A-B-A-L-A-N-U-S.
Sinif.
S-C-I-N-I-P-H.
Vusoir.
V-O-U-S-S-O-I-R.
Kaishinya.
C-A-I-X-I-N-H-J.
Ramoneur.
R-A-M-O-N-E-U-R.
Apocyopesis.
A-P-O-S-I-O-P-E-S-I-S.
Abseil.
A-B-S-E-I-L.
Pathology.
The amazing thing is three of those words were made up and he on the spot, and he still nailed them. That was unbelievable. And that clearly to me, let me ask the spellers here. I want to ask Elias and Ryan. When you hear him, it sounds to me like he's reacting like, oh, I know that word, and I know it right away. Is that what it sounds like to you, Elias?
It does, yeah, except for one of them. He struggled a tiny bit on one of them. But other than that, it does sound like he really knew all his words.
Studied them, knew them, yeah. What did you hear there?
I think he probably knew them. I don't know if he like studied them specifically, but there was a screen down there. He could see all the origins and just hearing the word, and he put it all together and was able to spell it.
Oh, that's like hitting a 99-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah.
You're just reacting, and somehow it's right on the barrel every time. That was awesome. That was really, really amazing to watch. I love the room's reaction. And by the way, the runner-up got 20 and was great, too.
Yeah,
I mean, that
absolutely.
They were outstanding. Ryan, if that had been you out of those 29, 30 words, how many do you think you would have had there?
Two.
No. You would have worked through, I don't know, in a lightning round more than like two or three, because I would need time to know more about like the word, right?
Right, yeah.
The way you kind of worked through Springerla, you can't do that in the lightning round.
Yeah, no. It's all about just hearing the word, making sure you hear it right, and then looking at all the information.
Yeah. Elias, how many do you think you would have had there?
Maybe one or two.
That was
get very far.
That was really great. Let's see here. Ingrid in Penfield wants to tell the word that she missed that apparently drove her poor mother crazy. What happened, Ingrid?
Hey, how are you? I love this show, and I want to congratulate these young people. Because it's not easy standing there and waiting for your word. To our surprise, I was the best in my county in sixth grade. And so I went to States. And my mother, she was awesome. We didn't always get along, but boy, did we bond over spelling. She would sit by the hour reading words to me. And in fact, I have a little trophy that came back to me when she passed that says best coach that I got her. So at State, up there, you know, cute little outfit, the New York State Fair in Syracuse, and the word came to me, and I had never heard it, and I took my best shot, and I spelled it like gaiety, and oh, she was so upset. She said, oh, if only I had taken you to church more. So the word was laity.
Oh, laity.
Yeah, and I still, every time I see it, I'll never forget that word. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you that story, the opposite of clergy.
Ingrid, I'm going to try laity. I mean, I would have said L-A-I-T-Y.
That's correct, but okay. I put an extra E in there, like gaiety.
Like gaiety. Well, I mean, that's logic. Yeah. That's logical, though, right?
At least it was a decent guess, right? But she couldn't. I could let it go, but she couldn't, really.
What would she have done to you, Ingrid, if you had missed 19?
No, she wasn't mad. She was mad at herself.
She
was raised Catholic, so she really knew that word. But she and my dad, when they got married, they converted. This is going to, I hope, make someone laugh. They converted to Unitarian Universalism. So you get the joke, right?
Absolutely. Well.
Okay. Well, thanks for this show, and congrats again, you people there.
Ingrid, thank you very
much. Don't worry
much,
about 19, Evan. It doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's pretty embarrassing, but that's okay. Thank you, Ingrid. And the students, if you're just joining us, Elias Seppo and Ryan Creary are here. They're both rising freshmen. Elias going to Brighton, Ryan going to Penn Yan, and Elias and Ryan had wonderful years spelling words. Ryan all the way to the national final down there with the Scripps National Spelling Bee, and got through three rounds before Appaman knocked him out there. I guess you're going to remember how to spell it. Do you even know what it is?
It's like honeybee venom, basically.
Honeybee venom.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. So everybody's got a word, and listeners are sharing their words. We have to take our only break, and we're going to welcome another great speller with us who not only is going to talk about his experience, but got some interesting thoughts on the way that technology is impeding our ability to be good spellers. And we'll talk about that and a lot more coming back on the other side of this only break.
Tune in Friday for Environmental Connections with me, Jasmine Singer. In the first hour, we're going to dive into the critical issue of tree equity in Rochester and efforts to address disparities in tree canopy coverage. In our second hour, we focus on climate-friendly clothing, discussing the environmental impacts of fast fashion and sustainable alternatives. That's all coming up Friday on Environmental Connections.
This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Share your spelling bee word that knocked you out, because we're talking about the National Spelling Bee, which happened last month, the Scripps National Bee. It's always fun to watch. And we're talking to a couple of students who are very, very good spellers in their own right about their experiences and what they did well, the words that knocked them out. I mean, Ryan couldn't even remember the word that got him to the National Spelling Bee. So, I mean, he's already moved on. I mean, they're moving on. But most of us do remember the words that trip us up. And sometimes there are words in your regular life that still trip you up. Just judging by probably the text that I send, there's a lot of them. But then there's autocorrect, and Tim Bannock doesn't really like autocorrect. Tim Bannock was a finalist in the 1997 Scripps National Spelling Bee, also out of the burgeoning spelling capital of the Finger Lakes, Penyan, New York. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Evan. I don't know about... Hopefully it's burgeoning, starting with Ryan. I didn't give it a very good start, judging by the amount of time that's elapsed.
27 years, yeah. It was rough.
Yes, but congratulations to Ryan and Elias and the current spellers. It's a lot harder now, it sounds like.
I think it is. I honestly do. I mean, I went back and I made a list of words, of all the winning words going back like 40 years. And the words 30 years ago, I was thinking, I mean, I think I can do some of those, and they are more familiar. And then I look at the last 10, and you're like, no, the last 10 include words like, well, why would I try to pronounce some of these? Samophile, Morhen, Mariah, Koinonia, Maricane, Knidal, Prospiciens, Gerdon, you know, I mean, like, those aren't words. So I think it's gotten a lot harder. They are words, and they're great words, and we joke, but they definitely are. The language is rich and big and fun. And Tim, when you were in 1997, Tim's story about what knocked him out is an interesting one. Tim, to this day, is claiming he didn't spell a word wrong. He claims he spelled the wrong word, which is an interesting way to cope. 27 years later, you still haven't gotten over this, Tim.
Well, I think I got over it actually pretty quickly, which was a separate story. But the word that I was given was Selenian, and I did not ask for a repetition or a definition or an alternate pronunciation. I went ahead and I confidently spelled it selenium, which is a different word.
So that the lesson there was slow down and get all the information.
Yep, that is the lesson. So well done, Ryan, asking and asking again.
Really, I mean, like, get all, why not? They're going to offer all the information, take it. But I also understand, Tim, why you hear that and you go, oh my gosh, that's right in my wheelhouse. I don't even need the information. You know, you're like the guy on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire who makes that call to his mother and he says, I just wanted to call and tell you I'm about to win $1 million. Like, that was you, except for you heard the wrong word. So
right.
Tim, how many rounds did you get through?
I got out in the third round. So... Once again, Ryan, well done going beyond that.
Thank you.
And Tim, do you remember some of the words that you nailed there?
I don't. I've been racking my brain since you texted me yesterday. trying to think, and I don't remember. So I was in seventh grade, and I went through a whole another year of spelling bees and got out in the regional round, and I don't remember the word that I spelled wrong.
That's so interesting. I mean, everybody remembers what knocks them out, but you don't always remember the successes. That says something about human psychology, too. But, Tim, I do want to hear a little bit about your experience before I get back to people like Greg. Greg in San Diego. Greg, hang there for 1 second. We'll take your call in a second. I do want to hear Tim's story because I do also think that this is instructive at just how varied the preparation is. You know, you heard Ryan say that, and his parents said he studied a lot, but, you know, nothing close to some of the contenders who were second, third, fourth last year and are going to come back and try to win it. I mean, they've spent 365 days doing this for 8 hours a day or more. And, you know, Elias, same kind of thing. Elias studied, but this wasn't Elias's only thing going for the last year. Tim, you were more in that category with Elias and Ryan, where it's like, this is going to be a great trip. It's going to be a great experience. But it didn't sound like it was make or break your world.
No, not at all. I knew going in that, you know, again, like with those others, I did not have the time to devote on a daily basis to studying words. It was not my entire life. And I did a lot of it. In fact, we used to walk to school every day and they gave us a book to study, just like I think they still have now. And my mom would quiz my brother and sister at the time also were in their years respective spelling bees. We had our picture, the three of us, in the Penyan newspaper as the amazing spelling Bannocks 1 year, which was all of our parents and our parents' friends thought it was cool. All of the other kids at school thought it was the nerdiest thing they had ever seen. Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. It depends on how much you care about what your parents think as to how cool that is. But yeah, she would quiz all three of us on words out of the book at the different levels. But that, you know, that really was it. And so it was exciting to go, and you walk into that hotel and it's full of people who are in the same competition that you are. And you just look at them and know, like, they're carrying dictionaries. They're like this is their life. And what makes it a little easier to take is that it's not my life. So I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to feel okay. And so let them have it. It was kind of my attitude.
Yeah. And did your family expect you to be sort of down in the dumps when you got knocked out?
Well, so that's why I say, like, I bounced back pretty quickly. They had a room, and I don't know if it's still this way, but they had a room where they took the spellers afterwards. They escort you off the stage and into this little quiet room in the back. And I remember the walls being all black. And that's where the parents came and met their spellers. And everybody else in the room, every other speller in the room, was in some varying state of distress. They were, you know, crying, maybe a little bit, maybe they were mad at themselves. I remember one person was just inconsolable, and mom and dad walked into the room, and I was happy as a clam because I got out in the third round on the first day, which meant I didn't have to go back tomorrow to watch and be a part of this. We got the whole next day to check out DC, and there was a lot that we still had to see. And so I remember the peanut butter cookies were awesome from that room. I wrapped a couple up to take to my brother and sister. And mom and dad, like, hurried me out of the room because it was almost like I was being disrespectful to those who had taken it so seriously. But they expected me to be very upset. And I was just happy to have a day off.
Talking to Tim Bannock, who made that national final back in 1997, 27 years later, from the same school in Penyan. Ryan Creary went this year. Elias Seppo is joining us, who's going to be a Brighton High School student. And some of their various parents are here. This is just a great day of celebrating great spellers. And I want to grab Greg in San Diego, who's been waiting. Hello, Greg. Go ahead.
Good morning, Evan. Greetings.
Good afternoon in Rochester. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I first of all, thank you for your program. It's my link back to my hometown.
Oh, great.
I went to high school and college there. I had 4 years of high school French at Aquinas on Dewey Avenue. And my stumbling word, and I also took it 2 years at Brockport in French, connoisseur. So a lot of the French words that have, you know, evolved into English, some are kind of edgy, but things like faux pas, I can remember for some reason, F-A-U-X-P-A-S, but connoisseur is the word that always on papers, on letters, I try to get a mental image of it in my mind to spell it, but it gets all jumbled up.
And you took 4 years of French.
Yeah. So like the verb to know is connaître, C-O-N-N-A-I-T-R-E. But when I tried to put it as a, you know, connoisseur means someone who knows in French, I get all bogged up.
That's the one. Are you still bogged up, or do you know it today? Don't say it, because in a moment, Ryan Creary is going to get it.
I'm going to try, if you let me. C-O-N-N-A-I-S-E-U-R?
Nah.
Ryan gave you the bell, the buzzer. Ryan, you want to do it? We got a buzzer now. We got a buzzer. Go ahead, Ryan.
C-O-N-N-O-I-S-S-E-U-R. Connoisseur.
Oh. That's it. Yeah. There's the bell. There's the bell.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. No, don't give it the bell. The bell, actually, the spelling bee, I think, means you're out. That's the scary thing. That's the ironic thing.
I get the booby price. Thank you.
Greg, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in from San Diego. Connoisseur for Greg. Wow. So I think, producer Megan Mack, are you going to grab the mic back there?
I've got the mic, but I have to tell everyone listening and everyone in the studio, Evan has this list in front of him, so he
No,
might...
no, no, I actually don't.
Don't be a cheater.
Kevin can attest.
Kevin,
sitting
take
next
the
to
list.
I only have the front page. I literally only have last hour's notes, and I only have the front page of these notes. I do not have the words. And I don't even think the notes...
The first word is 19.
I don't think it would help. Very funny.
Okay, so what do you want to do? Have a little spelling bee?
I want to see how I do, because then Elias and Ryan will embarrass me.
Okay.
But we'll see. You know, maybe the parents want to jump in here, too, or Tim or whatever. But
or
look,
maybe
yeah,
they don't.
Or maybe they don't. Maybe they're smart enough not to. Go ahead. Let's see here, Megan.
Okay, I have to start by saying our team of officials back here include Gary Puttup and Julie Williams. So we have pronunciations and definitions if you care to ask for them.
Okay.
Okay, your first word is Gesellschaft.
Gesellschaft or Gesellschaft?
Gesellschaft.
Gesellschaft. Gesellschaft. That sounds German. Gesellschaft. Gesellschaft. Give me information. I'm going to go the Ryan Creary route. Give me it all.
I have the definition. That is what we have right now.
Gesellschaft.
Social relations based on impersonal ties as a duty to a society or organization.
Okay. And origin?
I don't have that.
Okay.
Let's see. Gary, can you look up the origin of Gesellschaft?
Gary's going to try. Can you give me the first five word letters, how it's spelled?
N-I-N-E-T.
Gesellschaft. G-E-S-E-L. S-C-H-A-F-T. No. Okay. Now, well, Ryan got the last one on connoisseur. Elias, do you want to take this one?
It's
German.
It's German. Gesellschaft.
Is it Gesellschaft?
That is correct.
Get out of here.
Nice.
I was going to say Gesundheit. Gesellschaft. So two L's. That's all I missed.
Two L's.
I only missed it by one letter.
That's correct.
I actually feel very good about
that's
that.
Impressive.
I feel. Would you have known that over there, Ryan Creary?
Yeah.
Tim Bannock, would you have known that?
I would not have. No.
Okay. All right. Next one here.
Next one. Erysipelas.
Erysipelas. Pass. Tim Bannock.
You gotta try.
No. I get shown up enough by 13-year-olds and
okay. Erysipelas. Okay, definition?
An acute infectious disease.
Sounds like it. Origin?
Origin, Gary?
Erysipelas.
We're working on it. Sorry, we are very short staffed today.
Okay, I'm going to do my best here. Arasypilis. Okay, Ryan Creary, erysipelas.
That was what I was going to say, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Arisypilis.
Ooh, all right. Elias.
Oh, I don't know this one. You guys took the two that I was going to guess. Yeah.
This is where Auntie's going to come in and be like, no, you guys were way off. Do you have it?
I absolutely do not.
You don't know?
It's a medical word. They're made up words, right? They are.
Absolutely.
Honestly. Like that bee venom too. Like somebody in Germany just made it up when they discovered that toxic compound, you know?
Joe Appelman discovered the toxic compound. Totally. Michelle, do you want to try erysipelas? No?
I'm good.
No? Okay. Let's see here.
Well, we went.
If you're going to go, grab that microphone. You got to get close. Let's see it.
We went A-R-A and A-R-I, so A-R-Y-S-Y-P-H-I-L-I-S.
Is this even a word? A-R-E. A-R-R-A. A-R-R-E. Okay, we all get... All right, when we give up here, what is the word?
It starts with an E.
Oh,
of course.
Erysipelas.
Erysipelas.
Okay. So nobody was close.
It sounds like it should be some variation of the word syphilis.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was right there with you. Okay.
Which every 13-year-old knows, of course.
Okay, well, hey, they're very smart, Kevin Creary.
Yes, next
one.
All right, we're going to go with cernuous.
Cernuous?
Correct.
Ryan Creary literally nodded when you heard that. Like, do you know this word?
Yeah.
You know it?
Yeah.
On your mother's face. She looked shocked. Cernuous. All right, do it.
No, this is your song.
Okay, definition.
Drooping as a flower.
Drooping as a flower. And do we have an origin?
I don't think so.
Cernuous. Drooping as a flower. S-E-R-N-U-O-U-S. Ryan.
C-E-R-N-U-O-U-S.
Correct.
Ah, he did know it.
Great job.
I was right between the S and the C, so why would you go C and not S there?
Because I studied it.
You've seen it on the list.
Yeah, pretty much.
Elias, would you have been all over that one?
I'm pretty sure I would have guessed cernuous with a C.
Why not the S?
I've also by reading a lot of words, you can kind of tell how general guidelines for how words get spelled, and it just seems, I don't know, it just somehow seems wrong to be spelled with the S.
Elias is like, your instinct just seem wrong here, which is, he was right about that. And Tim and I were communicating before the program, and this is a good time to ask him. You know, Elias's point was, when you study words, you pick up on patterns. Sometimes you learn not just roots, but a little bit about culture and language and where the origin takes you. And Tim, what's the risk of just a world of autocorrect everywhere you look and people thinking none of this matters anymore?
Well, with spelling and grammar correction in writing, the danger is that you're letting the computer decide what you want to say and what you mean. And if you don't know what the correct spelling of the word is that you want to say, and you don't know what was interesting to me is to hear that there's a vocabulary component now to the spelling bees, because that is a big part of it too. If you don't know the word that you mean and you just trust that the computer must know better, then you are communicating less effectively yourself. And communication is more and more important, and we are relying more and more on AI and different tools to shape our communications, to decide for us how we want to say whatever it is that we think we want to say. And that's that's a scary thing and a dangerous thing. And so it's encouraging to see the spelling bees, especially as they include those components more and more, becoming more and more popular and a bigger and bigger deal.
I think that's really well said. Ryan Creer, what do you think about that, this idea that we don't really have to learn this because we have tech to back us up?
Well, I mean, we still communicate face-to-face. Like, yes, our world is becoming more digital, but still, it's important to have these skills. Like, computers, they don't define everything, and it's important to, like, actually interact face-to-face and, like, be better socially.
I could not agree with that more. What do you think, Elias?
I agree with what Ryan says. I think it is important not to just let the computer define what you're saying or say what you're saying. I do agree with these points.
Also, if you put in any of these spelling bee final words in autocorrect, it thinks it's not a word. You guys have noticed that. Michelle's looking at me like, yep, notice that. For James, who emailed, perspicacious was James's word. Sorry, James, but that's a pretty good word to get knocked out on, perspicacious. For Tim, it was cocaine. Tim, what school is putting cocaine on a spelling bee list? But hey, everybody's got their word that's knocked them out. I want to thank our guests, Tim Bannock, a finalist in 1997. Thank you for carving out some time, Tim. Fun to talk to you.
Yeah, but thank you, Evan, and congratulations once again to the current spellers.
Yeah, great stuff. Elias Seppo is going to be at Brighton High School. Thanks for sharing your knowledge with us. Great having you here. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me here.
You got it. Auntie, thanks for being back with us here. And thanks to the Creery Clan. Ryan Creery, rising freshman at Penn Yan, tied for 60th in 2024. Appaman, great to have you here. Go have some Springerles. Go have some Springerlet, or whatever the plural would be. And Michelle and Kevin, thanks for being here as well. Thanks for sharing your wonderful family. Awesome having you. From the whole team at Connections, thanks for listening. We're back with you tomorrow.